it has to be one of my favourite parashot, because it just, you know, it just brings back all of the Torah, it brings back the Ten Commandments, it brings, adds to them. And that's what Devarim is all about. It's all about reminding us of Torah, reminding us of what we've read previously and adding to it. Because Moshe got more than what we got in the first bit. And so he keeps adding that little bit. So before I do my message today, let's pray. Abba, Father, we just thank you and praise you. For this day, we thank you that you will open our eyes, that we can see wondrous things from your word. And I pray, Abba, Father, that the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart are acceptable in your presence, because you, Yehovah, are my rock and my redeemer. And I ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. It's gone. My message has gone. I've got to find it again. Okay, just wait a minute with me. I don't know what this computer has done. It closed itself down. And I can't find it. This is ridiculous, because I can't get to my I don't want that. I can't get into my computer. Don't want that. Honey, I can't find. Oh, here, that's come back.
Managed to loosen the power lead enough in the back of that speaker to kill it. So I think the problem's in the speaker.
Honey, can you help me please? Because I can't get into my computer. I don't know what's happened.
What's the file that you're looking for?
Well, I want to get into Word. I want to get into my Word.
Word document?
Yeah, but it's not there. And I don't know why. Talk about things today. It was open. I had it open when I first came here, and then it shut down during the readings.
Your programs.
Where do I find Word?
You can view the main platform.
Oh, try that one.
Looking good.
Yes. Hallelujah. You know, I had it there. It's terrible, isn't it? It's a new computer, but it does things that I've never seen computers do before. And I had it on during the readings, and over the readings it shut itself down. And then I completely lost all my document. Okay, so we're here again. Thank you for your patience. So I want to look today from our readings from Yeshayahu as to the reason why Yehovah, our Abba Father, Heavenly Father, is worshipped here along with Yeshua HaMashiach. So let us go to Yeshayahu, Isaiah 40, 21 to 27. Did you know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is Yehovah who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to naught, shall make the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Hardly have they been planted, hardly have they been sown, hardly has their stock taken root in the earth, when he shall blow on them and they wither, and a whirlwind take them away like stubble. And to whom then do you liken me? Or to whom am I compared? Says the set apart one, or Yehovah. Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who has created these? Who is bringing out their hosts by number? He calls them all by name, by greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing. Why do you say, O Yaakov, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from Yehovah. My rights are overlooked by my Elohim. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you really know Yehovah, or is his way hidden from you? Do you have a real working knowledge of his power? Do you think that you have grasped the awesomeness of what Yehovah is? You know, many people have said things to me, oh, you know this one, you know that one. I said, no, I know of them. I don't know them. We can read about Yehovah, but do we really know him? Have we really experienced him in our lives? I think that today that we really have no concept of how great and powerful he really is. We didn't see the sea open up when they crossed the Sea of Suf. We didn't see the plagues. We haven't seen his power like many people have seen. We've heard of it, but we haven't seen it. And I don't know about you, but my brain works. The way my brain works is I can't picture anything unless I've seen it first. I have no imagination. It just doesn't exist in my mind. I can't imagine things. So for me, I suppose I'm talking to myself today. But I believe that none of us can really know the power of Yehovah because we haven't experienced that miracle or that situation that allows us to really know, like we know, that was his power, that was his might that allowed that to happen. So we know he is El Shaddai, we know he is Almighty Yah. The scriptures tell us that he is. But what does that look like to you? And what do all his other names look like? And I can go on forever about the names of Yehovah. For us to truly understand him. I'm sure that if we really could, there'd be no doubt in our lives that he is in full control. And we would never have a worry or a fear, as our Heavenly Father has only the best for his set apart and obedient children. Yehovah is self-existent. He doesn't need us, but we need him. Can we go to Shemot Exodus 3 and 13 to 15, please? And Moshe said to Elohim, see, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the Elohim of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And Elohim said to Moshe, I am that which I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And Elohim said further to Moshe, thus you are to say to the children of Israel, Yehovah Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Yitzhak, the the Elohim of Yaakov, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my remembrance to all generations. Now, I don't have the time, and there really isn't the need, to assemble out a page full of scriptures to validate that truth. Because when Yah says it, I believe it, and that settles it. I don't need more proof than that. Yehovah is Yehovah all by himself. I want you to notice here what Moshe says to tell the children of Israel. He said, I want you to go there to them and say that I am that which I am has sent you. He didn't say tell them that I was sent to you by da-da-da, or I want to be sent. He just asked you to go and tell them I am sent you. There is nothing about Yehovah that has ceased to be or hasn't yet been. He is the great I am. He is the root of all existence. All life flows from him. He is the immutable, holy, eternal one. He alone can say, I am Yehovah, and there is no one else but me. It is he who declares, I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. Yehovah is the only self-existent, self-sustained, underived being. We need to lay hold of some truths about Yehovah today. He exists of his own nature. He is the only light of the world. Every other life is a reflection of him. We all know that there was a time when there wasn't anything. There wasn't life on this earth. There wasn't this earth. Everything was void, without a creature. Then suddenly they started coming from Yehovah as if they were coming off a potter's wheel, as he spoke each into being. Every creature, great and small, he depends on him for sustenance. It doesn't matter what it is, even the birds of the air, the little ants, no matter what the creature is, the largest of the dinosaurs when they existed, they all depend on him for existence. And every creature depends on him for its very existence to this very day. I want to show you a powerful thing. There are some things that are around us that we know are a necessity to us. They exist out of necessity. Air. Without air, we can't breathe. And if we don't breathe out the air, the trees and the plants can't breathe. Gravity. If we didn't have gravity, we'd be flung out into outer space somewhere. Balance. We all need balance, or we'd look like a lot of junks walking around the place all the time. Heat. We need heat for our body, because if we're frozen, we're not much good to anybody. Cool. We don't need cold, we need cool. We need something to cool us down when we get overheated. Light. Do you know that the light is what helps our mental ability? When you live in the northern hemisphere and you have less light, where light only goes from 10 in the morning till 4, or in some places you have months of darkness because the sun doesn't rise when you're up in Greenland and in the Nordic parts of the world. In those areas, the mental illnesses, the depression, etc., is so high. We live in a blessed place here on the Gold Coast. In my opinion, it's never too hot and it's never too cold. It really isn't too windy and it's not too rainy. And we could do with some rain sometimes, but still, it's still not too dry. I think this is the closest place to perfection that we could be. And I could go on about Yehovah, his creation, and what are the sustenance we need from him. But each of these are necessities to us. And it is because Yehovah created the necessity. He said, they will need this when I put man on this earth. It is all by divine proclamation that we have all the things we need to sustain our lives. Your little problems, my little problems, to have no impact whatsoever on Yehovah. They don't rob him of his ability. They just rob you of your ability or your joy or stifle you in some way. But that doesn't affect Yehovah. Let's go to Bereshit, Genesis 18 and 14. It's just a simple scripture. Is any matter too hard for Yehovah? We all know the answer to that one, don't we? It's no. Yehovah is independent. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need us. Nothing's too hard for him. He can do anything he chooses with each and every one of us or with any situation. Just like this COVID thing that's going around at the moment. He has allowed it to happen. For what reason, I've got no idea. But we have to trust him that he knows what he's doing. Can you name me anything on this earth that is independent? I don't think we can. I couldn't find anything when I went searching. We like to think we're independent. Children like to think they're independent. They don't need this and they don't need that. But they are really dependent. They're dependent on Yah for the air they breathe. They might even be dependent on the parents for the money to get them from A to B. We're all dependent on Yehovah. Yehovah alone is the only person that is not dependent on anybody. We all need food. We all need water. We all need rest to replenish ourselves after the exertions of our week. And so do the plants and all living creatures. Not so with Yehovah. He is self-sufficient. He rested on the seventh day, not because he needed to, but because he wanted to set an example for us. Because he's saying, we need our rest. You cannot work 24/7, 365 days of the year. You must rest every seventh day. And you must rest your land every 7 years. Because the plants need rest. The soil needs regeneration. The soil is dependent on Yehovah. Yehovah never wearies. He never tires. He never depletes his resources. In fact, he does not have resources. He doesn't need them. That's why we worship him here today. And I think this is great. It's awesome. Yehovah loves us so much that he gave us this day, the Shabbat day of rest, so we could come together and we could worship him. We could worship the unmovable, forever established King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Every knee shall bow to him and him alone. And when Moshe goes to Paro, as directed in Shemot, Exodus chapter 5 and verse 2, and Paro says, who is Yehovah? And I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know Yehovah, nor am I going to let Israel go. Did that bother Yehovah? Did he go into a tizzy and say, oh no, Pharaoh doesn't know me? Of course not. He says, just tell him for me, Moshe, let my people go. He doesn't tell Moshe to be subservient. Get out there. Assert your authority. I've sent you. Hasatan may be telling you that he isn't going to let you be delivered. Or he's not going to let you get over the problems that you might have in life at the moment. He may be telling you that you aren't going to receive your heart's desires. But I've got good news for you. Hasatan doesn't count. Yehovah is not listening to him, and neither should you. In Yochanan chapter 8 and verse 32, it says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And he goes on in verse 36 to say, and then the Son makes you free. If then the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. If you have a major problem in your life, then trust Yehovah and his words and the words of his son Yeshua. He existed before the world, and he doesn't need the world or the people in it now to exist. I am sure that if he could take a rubber or an eraser and blot out the very memory of man and all the trappings of creation, it would not diminish his power. His divine authority and position would never be altered. All of creation is merely a glimpse of the greatness of his being. Everything came into being from him. Remember, the scriptures declare in Messianic Jews Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8. Yeshua Messiah is the same yesterday, today and forever. Yeshua and the Father are one. They never change. We are moving. Excuse me. We, as human beings, are moving. We're moving from birth to death. We get born, we grow up, we get old, and we die. We are moving from birth to death. We're moving from living to dying. Not so Yehovah or Yeshua. He was and is to come. Things that are created get older. Trees get older, animals get older. Birds, insects, whatever, plants. They were new at one time, but then they start aging and decaying. Not Yehovah. Remember, I'm speaking to you why we worship Yehovah and his son Yeshua here. We are so limited in our thinking about Yehovah. Not as much with Yeshua, as we know he walked in this on this earth for a short time before returning to the Father. We as human beings compare everything to time. We require a starting point. We measure things, and our starting point is our birth. It's recorded on a birth certificate. Our end time is also stuck on our tombstone. We have a beginning and an end. As I said, we measure things by distance travelled. We measure things by how far we have come. Maybe how far we've come since we were born. Maybe how far we've come since we've accepted Yeshua into our lives. And we know that we've all changed since then. And most of us have changed for the better. And this is not a starting point with Yehovah. You can't go into the annals of time and find where someone or something fashioned Yehovah. If you could travel back, you would discover one thing. Yehovah Almighty, standing alone, full of glory, eternal, unchangeable. But it is He who changes everything, and He remains forever unchanged. How many are you blessed that He changed you, that He came into your life, and you're no longer that person you were before you knew Him? Yehovah has an everlasting dominion. The fact that He is self-existent is testimony to the fact that there is no conceivable force that could ever wound, injure, or destroy Him. Every nation on earth could join in allegiance to Hasatan, and they would be going to overthrow Yehovah and His messianic community. And that's what the globalists are wanting to do to this very day. That's what I believe this COVID is all about. They can cure COVID with hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin and zinc, and many people have been healed from it. But they're wanting to push on this injection to us. They're wanting to push on this vaccination, that nothing will be lifted until the vaccination has been pushed out and we're all supposed to get it. Can I assure you, under no condition should you take that vaccination. I know for a fact that it's going to contain lots of little tiny needles like a patch that they're going to put on your arm. And those little tiny needles are going to inject a type of dye into your system. And that dye is going to be, they're going to be able to trace your every movement, your every thought. That injection is being based and cultivated on fetal remains. Those fetal remains are going to contain DNA. That DNA will then affect your DNA. You will never be the same person again. Because Bill Gates, the person that wants this vaccination, along with Fauci, they're all in the same companies working together. Bill Gates said himself that you vaccinate to depopulate. That is their aim. That is the aim of COVID. And when they've got that vaccine, then they'll lift the restrictions. You see, that's Hasatan's plan. These people are Satanists. These people worship Hasatan. And it doesn't matter what they do, Yehovah will be in control. And Yehovah will win. Long before Golgotha, before Yehovah was Yehovah, and He had never been threatened, isolated, or in distress, and He was on your side. And that's why Shaul wrote in Romans 8 and 31b, if Elohim is for us, who can be against us? Hasatan doesn't stand a chance. King David wrote in the Chronicles of the Kings in 1 Chronicles 29:11, yours, O Yehovah, is the greatness, the power and the comeliness, the preeminence and the excellency. Because of all that is in the heavens and in the earth, yours is the reign, O Yehovah, and you are exalted as head above all. We have to keep that in mind. No one or no thing can ever touch Yehovah. Nothing will ever cause His power to diminish or even flinch the slightest. He is Yehovah. We all need Yehovah awareness in our lives. It's time to get over our fear. It's time to get over our depression. Because if we are living for Yehovah, we don't have those things. His dominion is forever and ever. And he is there to protect us. In Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10b, For this day is set apart to our Yehovah. Do not be sad, for the joy of Yehovah is your strength. The ones that tried to revolt against Yehovah, those who rejected his son, Yeshua, are forever reserved in chains of darkness. You need to hear the word of Yehovah. Remember, it was Yehovah that said, "Stand still and know that I am Yehovah." It may seem like life is just flying about around with no rhyme or reason, especially at this time of COVID. It's instilled turmoil, especially with what's happened this week, where quite a few of you live, but I can assure you it's not. Yehovah is ruling it all. There is not one thing that is left to its own devices. The omnipresent and omnipotent Yehovah is in control. And I'm sure I can hear a hallelujah from that, can't I? Yehovah's kingdom has no beginning or ending. Kingdoms of men begin, they flourish for a time. Many ceased because lack of heirs. A great army overthrew many. The mightiest of kings on this earth have all died. But Yehovah's kingdom has no beginning and has no ending. Two words that you will never ever hear to be used to describe Yehovah's kingdom is a predecessor or a successor. There was no one before him, and there'll never be anyone after him. We need to stop worrying about if Yehovah is going to be able to help you overcome your foe, your enemy, whatever it is that's attacking you at this time. Yehovah has never been defeated. He hasn't even been challenged. The scriptures declare that Yehovah's throne is seated in righteousness in Tehillim, Psalms 89, verse 14. It says, "Righteous and right ruling are the foundations of your throne. Kindness and truth go before your face." We can rejoice today because Yehovah's throne will never be moved. We worship Yehovah today, not because of what he has done for us, not because of a mere experience we had when we were born anew. But let me show you a couple of things. One, you have been restored to his glory. This epic battle for the souls of man can be traced right back to the garden scene in the Garden of Eden. There man fell from his created state into sin, and sin continues in man to this very day. This state of man culminated on a bloody stake atop a rugged hill and was completed 3 days later with an empty tomb. A victorious Yeshua HaMashiach and a broken Hasatan. Hasatan had been trying to win back his kingdom ever since. And there is no doubt that he rules in this world today. But Yeshua gave us the victory over Hasatan. Worship is not something we merely do. Worship is not a hobby, a pastime, or an experience. It's not merely a way of expressing your love and affection for Yehovah. Actually, worship is a place. It's a position. Adam and Hava lost their first estate. In fact, their sin caused us to be born outside of that estate. The scriptures tell us that we have fallen short of glory. I'm going to give you three different scriptures of the one text to show you how scriptures get changed in the word. So if we can go to slide 12. Is that right? In Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the esteem of Elohim." And that's the scriptures 1998 version. In the Complete Jewish Bible, it says, "Since all have sinned and come short of earning Elohim's praise." A little bit different. And then if we go to the King James Version, Authorized King James Version, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So I've listed the meanings here of each one. In the next slide, are they there? No, they're not. Sorry, different one. I meant to put them in. What is esteem? So the first one in the scriptures, it says the esteem of Elohim. Esteem means admiration, honor, respect, reverence, or regard. Then the Complete Jewish Bible says, earning Elohim's praise. Praise once again gives admiration, but then it goes on with compliment, applause, acclaim, and commendation. And the King James Version says glory. Glory means fame, triumph, success, brilliance, magnificence. Can you see the three different meanings? And you look at the scriptures and may they be written by three different people, and you think, what are the scriptures actually saying? I look at it in the Hebrew text. So I go to the one closest to the Hebrew text. And the closest to the Hebrew text is the scriptures 1998. And so I prefer that version of the three. And this tells me that we should not just read Yehovah's word, but also ask the Ruach for clarity on what the word is actually saying. Because sometimes we can just read it and take it at face value. But depending on the root, where it's come from, and in this scripture I go back to the Hebrew text, I see that the actual meaning is the esteem of Yehovah that we need. Moshe found favor with Yehovah and asked him in Exodus or Shemot 33:18-23, and he said, "Please show me your esteem." Once again, when I look at it in Hebrew, he's asking for his esteem. He's not asking for his brilliance. He's not asking for his fame. He's not asking for anything else but his esteem. And he said, "I shall cause all of my goodness to pass before you, and I shall proclaim the name of Yehovah before you. I shall favor him whom I favor, and I shall have compassion on him whom I have compassion." But he said, "You are unable to see my face, for no man does see me and live." And Yehovah said, "See, there is a place with me, and you shall stand on the rock, and it shall be, while my esteem passes by, that I shall put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I shall take my hand and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." This is where Moshe received the revelation of creation and the history of man. Moshe had been closer to Yehovah than any other human being. He had been in his absolute presence. He wanted more. He desired to be in his esteem. We love to be in his presence, but we've never spoken to him like Moshe did when he was like face to face. We've never had that one on. Yes, I've heard his voice. Yes, many of you have heard his voice. But we've never had that one-on-one time where he's given us the instructions, where he's told us things, like he did with Moshe. But Moshe wanted more. He wanted his esteem. Moshe's soul was recognizing the greatness of Yehovah and was crying out to be restored to the place of esteem that it was created for. Instead, Yehovah showed him the awesomeness of creation and gave him a plan for worship. With it came a promise of limited esteem, and that is the tabernacle, the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire, etc. He knew when his presence was there, but he couldn't actually see his face. The battle proceeded all the way to Yeshua. Yeshua was known as the carpenter's kid. And I personally know what that feels like. When I was young, I was called Young Rossi. In other words, I was my father's child. Yes, I was the image of my father in looks and lots of things. But I hated being called Young Rossi. With a vengeance. I went to a graduating class of 57 school reunion as a 74-year-old, and even that day I had to tell a person that I do not answer to that name because they came out with Young Rossi. I wanted to run. I hate that word, like a vengeance. I might be a chip off the old block, but that doesn't mean I'm Young Rossi. I'm a person. I'm an individual. I wonder if Yeshua said, if you knew who I am was among you, if you knew that I'm more than the carpenter's kid, what they would say. Now the rabbis were astounded at his knowledge, but they could not and still do not acknowledge him as the Mashiach that they had been waiting for. When Yeshua was making his triumphant entry, the people began to praise him in Luke 19, 38 to 40, saying, "Blessed is the sovereign or the king who is coming in the name of Yehovah. Peace in heaven and esteem in the highest." And some of the Pharisees from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your taught ones." But he answering said to them, I say to you that if these shall be silent, the stones would cry out. Why would the stones cry out? Because of his esteem. Because they are created just like we were. This was the manifested esteem of Yehovah. His grace and power were also manifested. On that bloody stake on the rugged hill, the battle commenced. 3 days later, it was settled when a victorious Yeshua HaMashiach emerged, having defeated Hasatan. This was not an epic struggle of good against evil. Evil never stood a chance. Yehovah was at work. And here is what is so essential. Our worship today is not a thing. It is not our words. It's not our thoughts. It is our place. It is our position in Yeshua HaMashiach. If we sum up all the words from Romans 3, word for esteem or glory literally means worship. In Jochen and Aleph, or 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, "The one doing sin is the devil, because the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of Elohim was manifest, to destroy the works of the devil." Now, if you look at the word devil and you use it in scaffolding, what's the word in devil if you took out the D? Evil. English is based on scaffolding words. Hebrew says hasatan, but I put that in there for a reason. Because devil is scaffolded from evil, and there's none more evil in this world than hasatan. The stake of Golgotha, Yeshua's sacrifice, was all about restoring your position of esteem, your position of worship. This great, awesome Yehovah that I've spent a little time describing to you today desires your worship. He desires that you abide in your position of esteem. And that's why we worship him here in this place. That's why we worship him at home. And we worship him through everything we do and everything we say, so that we are his light to the world. He has been good to us, and that isn't the only reason. He has saved us, but that's still not the only reason. We have been restored to a position of esteem that was lost by Adam and Hava in Garden of Eden. Worship should now be the essence of our being. It should no longer be an afterthought or something we only do on Shabbat. It should be rather the preeminent thought of our very being. What's the first thing we do when we wake up? What's the last thing we do before we go to sleep? We don't worship him because we feel like it. We worship him because that is what we were created to do. We were created to be worshippers of Yehovah. We can't escape it. Try as we may, we can't get around it. Our soul, our mind, our will and our emotions recognises that we are Yehovah's esteem before we do. The next thing we know, we are speaking the words that are emanating from deep within our souls. Our souls are our mind, will and our emotions. Hasatan desires to sell us short in our esteem. Yeshua came to restore us to it. So I want to look now at what Yeshua has done for us today. So we go to slide 16. So it's when you were in such a position, this is what Yeshua gave us. When you were greedy, he gave us unselfishness. When you were hateful, he gave kindness. When you were sinful, he gave righteousness. When you were bound, he gave liberty. When you were filthy, he gave purity. When you were damned, he gave pardon. When you were outside of esteem, he gave esteem. We have been restored to esteem through Yeshua HaMashiach. We now have this treasure in earthen vessels, so therefore we can experience the power of Yehovah in our lives today. Shaul said in Romans 8, 38 and 39, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor messages, nor principalities, nor powers, neither the present nor the future, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Elohim, which is in the Messiah Yeshua, our Master." Do you know why nothing is greater than Yehovah? And Yehovah loved you so much that he robed you in himself in flesh and died on a stake to save us. Nothing deserves more worship than Yehovah. Nothing is more worthy than Yehovah. As I said, Yeshua and Yehovah are one. None of us can come to Yehovah without having been through Yeshua. No one can come to the Father except through Yeshua. And therefore they are one. We need to get in the esteem position of our minds today. Are you allowing your problems to rob you of that position? We weren't saved by grace to survive problems. We were saved by grace to give Yehovah the esteem that we fell short of when we were in sin. Yes, I know there are times when the powers that are at work against you seem awfully powerful and strong. I want to encourage you that you are serving the invincible King. He will prove his position. He will remind all beings, physical and spiritual, of his authority. Yehovah will achieve his purpose, and we need to get this into our mind and our hearts today so that we are living out our lives in complete joy. Yehovah reigns. We sing it, but we've got to get it in. He is King forever and ever, and praise be to Yeshua HaMashiach, who made it possible for each and every one of us to receive his esteem. Does anyone have any questions? I want to pray for you, and I want the men to pray for you after the service. I'm going to anoint you with oil. Okay? Is that all right with you? Good. Okay, so let's go to the remembrance service.